This is Weekend All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Lisa Simeone. Some books quickly end up in the remainders section. Others stay popular for decades. In the latter category is a book that was read by the founder of the Boy Scouts, explorers to the South Pole, Central Asia experts, and CIA agents. Even Mark Twain said he read it at least once a year. The book is Kim by Rudyard Kipling. First published in 1901, the novel has never been out of print. And small wonder. Kim is an adventure story, a spy thriller, a coming-of-age account, and much more. Alex Van Oss reports.
Rudyard Kipling was born in India during the height of the British Raj. He moved to England and then to America, where he got married. While living in Vermont, Kipling began dreaming up a novel about India, about a Tom Sawyer-like boy who grows up in the streets and speaks all the local languages. Kim is an orphan. He's white, but his guardians are Hindus and Muslims. We first meet Kim and his young pals in Lahore as they play in a public square on top of a famous giant cannon, Zamzama.
He sat in defiance of municipal orders astride the gun Zamzama on her brick platform opposite the old Ajaib Ghar.
Dr. Ayub Omaya is professor of neurosurgery at George Washington University. Born in Lahore, he used to play on Kim's cannon, which actually exists.
The thing to do was always to try and climb on top of the cannon. Of course, the policeman was always there to chase them, so we always tried to get it in the evenings. And of course, I tried and then we'd be chased again by the police. That was before even I knew anything about Kim.
Kipling's Kim was an instant success, as were the Jungle Books and Just So stories for children. Kipling won the Nobel Prize for Literature in 1907. Then his writing fell out of favor. He was called imperialist, even racist, for praising the old British Empire. But his novel Kim endures, and it's still read.
Later on, as I sort of matured, and then I realized that Rudyard Kipling was a man of his time, but his writing was wonderful. I mean, he's one of my most favorite writers.
I actually discovered Kim in the same way that a lot of children growing up in America do, which is on television. I remember seeing a movie of it.
At the University of Chicago, Andrew Hebbard is writing a dissertation on Kim and other novels. Kim is far more than a boy's book, he says. It's an exploration of colonial rule and the system that kept the empire in power. It's also a book about relationships, about the possibility of deep friendship between people of different races, cultures, and classes.
There's certainly a sort of fantasy involved, I think, in the way that Kipling constructs these intimacies. And there's a way in which these intimacies really end up sort of smoothing over any problems of cultural difference that would have possibly occurred.
Kim is called the little friend to all the world. Though British, he mingles with Hindus, Muslims, the whole panoply of India. He befriends a courtesan here, an Afghan horse trader there, and Kim travels up and down the Grand Trunk Road of India and far north to Kashmir and the Himalayas.
Above them, still enormously above them, Earth towered away towards the snow line, where from east to west, across hundreds of miles, ruled as with a ruler, the last of the bold birches stopped. Above that, in scarps and blocks upheaved, the rocks strove to fight their heads above the white smother. Above these again, changeless since the world's beginning, but changing to every mood of sun and cloud, lay out the eternal snow.
Sir John Thompson has served as Britain's ambassador to India and later to the United Nations. For him, Kim is a timeless book.
While the story is firmly anchored at the end of the 19th century, the characters of the people involved and many of their interests and their prejudices and emotions are the same today. And it is, if anybody's going off to do political business or military business in that area, I would strongly recommend Kim to him.
It is one of the most profound allegories for colonialism that was produced in the 19th century. Kipling's wonderful fantasy about how East and West can meet.
Sara Soleri Goodyear is a professor of literature at Yale University and a Kim specialist. Of crucial importance, she says, is the Great Game, the name given to the political struggle between Britain and Russia for control over India and Central Asia. As he grows older, Kim trains to join the Great Game as a spy. His friends now are the Indians, Afghanis, and others who enable the British to control their unruly empire. Sir John Thompson.
All these people, who are so different in themselves, were held together partly by a joy in the game, partly by sheer professionalism, and partly by a feeling that they were doing something important.
The complexity of the great game takes a physical and psychological toll on Kim, and he breaks down, wondering who he is.
I am Kim. I am Kim. And what is Kim? His soul repeated it again and again. He did not want to cry. He never felt less like crying in his life. But of a sudden, easy, stupid tears trickled down his nose, and with an almost audible click, he felt the wheels of his being lock up anew on the world without.
There is a spiritual component to this story. Kim is the disciple of a Tibetan Lama. With the Lama's help, he achieves a kind of deliverance. But the ending is ambiguous and powerful, and it's for the reader to decide. So read Kim, 100 years old this year. For NPR News, this is Alex Van Oss in Washington.